Let's pray. Loving God, give us ears to hear your word, eyes to see, minds to think, and hearts to respond. We ask this through the precious name of Jesus. Amen. It's not a happy reading, that, is it, really? In January 1941, as the United States was trying to reassure itself over the war that they could see being fought in Europe, and just 11 months before the events of Pearl Harbor, Franklin D. Roosevelt delivered a State of the Union address that famously became known as the Four Freedoms. Four freedoms, he said, that were the universal right of all human beings. Freedom from want, freedom from fear, freedom of speech, and freedom to worship. Four freedoms. But Franklin D. Roosevelt was a bit behind, really, talking about that in 1941, because way before that, centuries before that, the Apostle Paul had been writing to those fledgling Christians in Galatia to talk about the freedom that was a gift to all people, a freedom that had been won by the sacrifice of Jesus. And over the past few weeks, as we've been working our way through this letter to the Galatians, we've seen that Paul was really keen to impress on the followers of Jesus that at the very foundation of our faith, it's freedom. And it's freedom that we need to grasp and to enjoy to the full. So Paul used examples and arguments from the Hebrew scriptures, which we have as our Old Testament, and from his own personal example. And he kept on going that the victory of Jesus on the cross meant that these women and the men no longer had to be slaves to sin. Until then, really, there hadn't been much choice. They just couldn't help but sin. And every failure to keep that law of Moses meant that they had to go through all kinds of rituals and sacrifices to try and work their way back into God's good books. And the problem was they could never get there. These things that were supposed to help people get closer to God actually just somehow highlighted how very far away they were. But they carried on. They stuck to it, you could say, slavishly, in an attempt to get it right and to get them into heaven. And as we've seen throughout Galatians, it didn't work. It was very, very limited, their success. And really, when you're not achieving something and you're trying so hard, all that's left is this sense of guilt. The Galatian Christians, it just wasn't working for them. And so once again in this passage that we see in chapter 5, once again, Paul is saying that freedom comes from the victory won by Jesus Christ on the cross. It's a freedom from slavery to sin. It's a freedom from rules and rituals. It's a freedom from guilt. It's a freedom from anxiety about our future. We've been freed, Paul says, from all these things so that we can enjoy it, so that we can be fully human, so that we can make the most of this life that God has intended us to have. But Paul is anxious to remind these Christians again, and I believe us here tonight, not to slip back into the old ways, not to go back to relying on rules and rituals, not to go back to doing the right things at the right time, because it doesn't work, does it? This is a passage that we might feel a little bit uncomfortable about sometimes. Paul likes to go on about circumcision, doesn't he? And I like the Good News translation, but some translations say that I wish that they'd go the whole way, the knife would slip, they'd go the whole way. This sign, this act, this physical mark that God had initially given his people was to say, you're mine, you're mine. When God first gave that mark to Abraham, he said, now you're my people. But unfortunately, as lots of things over the centuries, it had all got sort of muddled up. And it had started to be seen as a mark of having got into God's good books, rather than this saying, hey, come on, we're already there. And so the Galatians were at this point where others were saying, but you need to be circumcised to show that you belong to Jesus. Paul's saying no. Again, he's saying no. Believing in God, receiving that gift of grace, that's enough. The old rule books, forget them, they've been shredded. The rituals, they're obsolete. All that you need has been done by Jesus himself. Paul goes through different sort of stages as he writes his letters. Often he starts off with kind of quite heavy doctrine and theology. And then later his letters seem to talk more about what it means for the people of the time, how they're going to behave. And he does that again in this letter to the Galatians. He takes belief on one hand, and then he turns to behaviour. And in this passage, we see him starting to bring it together. So here's the question. If there is total freedom in Christ, which Paul has said there is, does it actually matter how we behave? Because if God forgives us, why don't we just get on and get the maximum benefit out of it and do what we like? It doesn't work like that. Because that means that freedom has turned to license. We need to distinguish running free from running wild. It isn't an anything goes kind of freedom. If you still have your Bibles open and have a look at verse 6, Tom Wright translates it as this. What matters is faith. Faith working through love. What matters is faith working through love. In other words, if you do believe that Jesus has set you free, then you'll demonstrate it in the way you relate to the world around you. Our outlook won't be entirely selfish anymore. And we'll want to ensure that our behaviour reflects the love of Jesus. We'll want to interact with others in a way that is guided by him. It's about love, Paul says. It's all about love. And then he expands on that in verses 13 to 15. He kind of gets in first because he's waiting for people to say, yeah, but that's not how it works. So quickly, three things that Paul draws attention to. Three things that freedom is not. Firstly, it is not the freedom to indulge in the sinful nature or opportunities for the flesh, as some translations say. So, when Paul talks about sinful nature, he's talking about how we were before we accepted Jesus. It was sinful because that's just how we were. We couldn't help it. There didn't seem to be a choice. If we want to go more into what the sinful nature is, Paul provides a number of lists in his letters. And I think for us, sometimes the temptation is to glance at the more sensational of those and say, well, that doesn't apply to me, that doesn't apply to me, that doesn't apply to me. But without stealing next week's thunder, in verse 20 and 21, Paul lists discord and jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy. Can we say we're completely free of those? I can't. Can we say that we never have a tiny little bit of jealousy, that we never lose our temper? Even if we're only indulging in these a tiny little bit and no one's caught us out, then we're not allowing love to be our guiding principle. That's not what freedom's about. So it's not freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Secondly, it is not freedom to exploit my neighbour. That's the second part of verse 13 and verse 15, if you're following. Don't envy your neighbour. Don't harbour feelings of jealousy towards her or him. Don't concentrate on your own pleasure and fulfilment at the expense of others. All those things have consequences. They eventually have impact on our relationships and our attitudes. Paul says that our freedom in Christ should be an opportunity for us to serve one another. It's a freedom to serve one another without having to worry about me, without you having to worry about you, because Jesus has done it. He's sorted me out. He's sorted you out. So if I know where I'm going, if I know what I'm doing, if I'm free of that constant need to be working things out, to make things happen, to improve myself, to feather my own nest, to cover my own back, I just don't have that anymore. Jesus has done it. I don't need to worry. Serve one another, Paul says. Don't destroy one another. And what about us as neighbours to the wider world? Freedom in Christ means that we need to open our eyes to how our actions affect our brothers and sisters around the world. So it's not freedom to indulge in sinful nature, it's not freedom to exploit my neighbour. And it's not freedom to disregard the law. Verse 14. Here's the crunch. We're told that we're free from the demands of the law. And we are. As long as what we mean by the law is that it would be keeping it in order to get into God's good books. But Paul says, we still need to believe in that grace, in that promise that we're safe in God's hands. And the belief, that faith, is expressed in love. He says in verse 14, actually, it's all about, that's what the law is about anyway. The entire law, summed up in a single command, love your neighbour as yourself. And from John 15, if you obey my commands, you remain in my love. William Barclay puts it like this, The Christian faith is founded not on a book, but on a person. Its dynamic is not obedience to any law, but love to Jesus Christ. So the two things are inextricably linked. Our freedom from the law is based on our relationship with God, and our freedom and our relationship with God is demonstrated through our keeping the law of love. So we're not free to break the law, because we always end up doing that anyway. That's the thing that enslaves us. We're free instead to fulfill the law. Jesus has given us that choice. We're free now to live as God wants us to. We can choose to do right, rather than always having that struggle, that fight against doing wrong. That's where freedom comes in. So in case we were perhaps starting to panic a bit as we worked our way through Galatians, in case we were starting to think that actually we could just do anything we liked, whatever the consequences now, we can see that the faith we have in God and his infinite love should lead us naturally to a life where we love our neighbour, where we want to do what God wants us to do. Just as originally circumcision was a sign of those who'd been included in God's covenant of grace, but later it came to be seen as a means of getting God's grace. So, living a life of loving concern isn't the way to get God's grace, but it's a sign for those of us who've taken the decision to accept that grace already. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Amen.